And as I said, we're back. It is the Taylor Report. It is CIET 89.5 FM. I'll remind you, next week we will be preempted, but otherwise we are in the saddle, as it were. Phil Conlon is here. We're going to be talking shortly to David Jacobs. We're going to talk about the book Class Privilege, How Law Shelters Shareholders and Coddles Capitalism. Phil is already expressing surprise and shock, but Class Privilege. And the author is Harry Glasspeak. It is from Between the Lines Press in Toronto. And as a second part of our interview with David, we will also ask him about this very important court decision in England in which the Rwanda matter is central because it's the issue of do people have refugee rights? Are the questions about justice, so-called justice system of Rwanda, you know, are they founded? Apparently the British court thought they well-founded. And so but David Jacobs has considerable background in that, so we'll be talking about that as well. So we're going to make it's going to be a twofer. Are you there, David?
I'm definitely here.
Well, thank you, David.
Now, my pleasure.
Let's say, off the top, you had the privilege of being a student of Harry Glasspeak, and he's written a number of really important books, and he has this new book, Class Privilege, How Law Shelters Shareholders and Coddles Capitalism. And you've been dipping into it. Tell us what you think of this book.
I think it's a must-read book. Yeah, I had the privilege of being a law student under the tutelage of Harry Glasspeak for a number of different courses. One was the law of evidence, and to the extent I understand evidence today is because of that, and a number of courses in labor law. And, that's a considerable focus of my practice, labor relations law.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Harry has written a book. He's been concerned about the role of the corporation in capitalism, and he has a very, I think, a fascinating thesis in his book about the corporation. So as I understand it, and maybe this is my takeaway from it rather than Harry may think mm-hmm. he's writing with something.
By the way, we expect to be talking to Harry in a future program, and so we'll make a note of your questions.
Right. I think he thinks it's worthwhile to be railing against corporate power and opposing corporate power. But what he says is that corporation is in a sense, merely a vehicle to accomplish the objectives of capitalism. So it's not good enough to be against corporations or for things like shareholder democracy and so on, which he complains about, but rather be against capitalism itself and to look at the way in which the creature called the corporation effectively obscures what capital does under the guise of something which appears to be natural and inevitable, that is, the life of a corporation. So he points out what a peculiar thing a corporation is, and a corporation, of course, is a thing where a capitalist or a group of capitalists band together and create a particular entity which is given the legal status of a person. And we all accept that, so rather uncritically, so corporations have certain rights, you know, for example, the right to invest, the right not to invest, the right to disinvest. In Canada and in many other common law countries like the United States and so on, corporations have the right to free speech. That's the nub of the Citizens United case in the United States, where corporations have untrammeled rights to invest in political parties. So you can set up a corporation and have the corporation do all sorts of things. And one of the things that the corporation does, which is different from you as a person, let's say you set up a corporation, is that the corporation has limited liability. So you personally, except in some particular situations where you're using a corporation to evade taxes,
mm-hmm.
which is different from avoiding taxes, which is lawful, but evading taxes is
at first
unlawful.
I thought you said Texas, and I was all for it. Go ahead.
But in any event, apart from some instances, corporations can do all sorts of things, terrible and horrible, which affect people's lives. But the titular owners of the corporation escape all kinds of liability, civil and criminal, with exceptions, for what they do. So the corporations can employ terrible health and safety practices or flood the market with dangerous materials or whatever. Harry actually has some rather amusing anecdotes about the difficulties with considering a corporation a natural person. One of the funniest, at least I thought it was very funny, and Harry does write in a very engaging and amusing and easy to read manner. This is not a book for academics, by the way, or not solely for academics, although academics learn a lot from it.
Maybe they might learn how to write.
Yeah, for sure. No, he has a wonderful writing style, and he'll be embarrassed by this, but I recall that Karl Marx's wife, I read somewhere, told him that when he was to write with humor, you know, and I suppose telling him not to be dry or just simply angry. Harry certainly writes with humor, there's no question about that. So one of the anecdotes he tells is of a man being pulled over, I think in the United States, for driving in the HOV line, which is, you know, you're required to have more than one passenger in the car to be able to access that lane. And he defended himself by saying that he had his corporate minute books in the car. So his corporation was also a passenger. Since a corporation is a person, there were two persons in the car, him and his corporation. And, of course...
How do you do in that case?
He didn't do well, but I think the court had a lot of difficulty with the argument. They had to skate around it and deal with it because of the difficulty of it, you know.
Well, you know, Harry quotes, and we really should remind people where we are with this debate, because a candidate for president of the United States, Mitt Romney, responding to a heckler in Iowa who suggested that taxes should be raised on corporations, said, "Corporations are people, my friend."
Yeah.
Of course they are. Everything corporations earn ultimately goes to the people. Human beings, my friend. By the way, are they your friend, Mitt? That is scary to realize. Because Harry Glasspiegel in his book describes them as a kind of a metaphor he has is ectoplasm.
Yeah, absolutely. And
my close friend, the ectoplasm.
What he's railing against, I think, in the book, very effectively, is the mantra that there is no alternative to capitalism. And he thinks that the reification, fetishization of the corporation and the banner in which the corporation really hides capitalism to some extent assists in promulgating this idea there is no alternative, which sort of you can trace its genesis to Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher, but certainly goes through Bob Rae and Tony Blair and the New Labour types who are talking about how to...
Of course, Bob Rae was a convert to capitalism, so he's a little more enthusiastic than the other capitalists.
Right.
He can feel it.
And Harry writes here, there is no alternative. It's an idea that blunts a fight against capitalism, a fight that must be fought and won. And he says that his work is intended to put people who are struggling against capitalism in a better position to defeat what is. His argument is based on I'm going to read you a little bit from the conclusion.
Please.
My argument in the end is based on a belief that human beings are capable of constructing a life of altruism, compassion, and caring for others and their environments, and that they instinctively seek to live such a life. What they need is to see these inclinations in themselves and to understand how they're being held back from realizing their potential. As William Tabb wrote, I'm sorry, I don't know who William Tabb is, discussing the World Trade Organization's incursions, change doesn't come about from the mere fact of oppression, but from our belief that a better alternative is not only desirable but possible, not necessarily tomorrow, but when the momentum can be turned around. He said the mantra of this is, there is no alternative, holds that the fundamentals of the prevailing regime cannot be bettered. He says this is bold and arrogant. And we're asked to believe that people can't do better than the system that ensures that some people, capitalists, get most of the spoils, and they're entitled to limit the shares of others and to command them in their daily lives. That this view has any purchase at all is to be deeply lamented. Could there really be no practical alternative to an authoritarian, anti-democratic, anti-egalitarian regime? anyway, so it goes on. I mean,
By the way, we're speaking about Harry Glasspiegel's book, Class Privilege, Between the Line Press, Toronto. I want to ask you about this. I know this has something to do with the motivation in writing this book, and I was really pleased and surprised to find he quoted Ambrose Bierce, The Devil's Dictionary, which is, if you want to know what the devil thinks, please turn to that, and on what a corporation is. And Ambrose Bierce says, a corporation is an ingenious device for obtaining individual profit without individual responsibility. And, you know, that's Bierce being clever, but that's almost precisely what Harry Glasspiegel is arguing. I doubt there's very much difference there. And I know that he begins by saying, when he says when he took this matter up in a previous book, that what he was concerned about is how people could be maimed and killed at work, and nobody has ever, except maybe the immediate foreman or somebody, but you couldn't hold responsible these people who are behind this mask called the corporation.
Yeah, that's right. I think what he's trying to do is unmask it. I mean, he's written before on he's written a wonderful article with the provocative title, The Corporation as a Criminal. In fact, I think he used to teach a course after I was in law school called precisely that, you know, where he
called the course that. Yes, Corporation as a Criminal.
And he's, the subtitle of one of his articles was Are Injuring, Killing and Maiming Workers Crimes?
Yeah.
I think that was his title. I think the glory of what Harry does is he takes sort of things which should be obvious to us, makes them obvious. Sort of unmasking the corporation, for example, is a great thing to do. I mean, I think one of the things that strikes you is how normal these abnormal activities seem. So, for example, in a corporation, he says that the real governments, of course, are corporations. Let me read a little bit more from the conclusion. He's talking about the people who, like Thatcher, who say there's no alternative. There is, they say, no option but to stick with corporate capitalism if we are to thrive as a free and rich polity. This is horribly wrong. Today, our tyrants know much the governments that Friedrich Hayek feared. Friedrich Hayek being the man who wrote The Road to Serfdom, and that his point was economic decisions shouldn't be left to government. He was sort of the anti-John Maynard Keynes. Anyway, so today our tyrants are not so much the governments Hayek feared, but human capitalists who control wealth and its uses by means of corporations. I mean, the idea, for example, corporations are allowed to do these things that individuals are not allowed to do. So individual humans are not allowed to go on strike except in certain controlled circumstances. But corporations can hold governments to ransom by effectively going on strike, saying, well, we're not going to invest here unless you lower the tax rates, or we'll take our corporation out of the country if you're going to enact more progressive laws which protect the rights of workers or human rights. Or you better let us have our tax shelters overseas, or we'll yank our capital out of the country.
Mm-hmm. That's the way ectoplasm talks.
Yes, and they do that, and governments bow down, and governments instinctively bow down, and sometimes governments don't even have to be told; they just do it anyway.
Well, that's why we got to by the way, people who were shocked at all those bankers and all those investors and all the money men who sank the economy about 10 years ago, people said, "Well, how did they get away with this?" Well, Harry Glasspiegel has written a book, Class Privilege, How Law Shelters Shareholders and Coddles Capitalism. And we thank you, David, for talking to us about this book. Now, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back because we want to talk to you about this case in London, England, involving Rwanda.